existing international instruments. Dotted border below heading 1. There are several international instruments that guarantee the rights of women and girls during conflict and peace-building processes. It is crucial for advocates of FRHR to be aware of these instruments, examine their efficacy and implementation, and ensure that the relevant instruments are part of the advocacy. This section lists and provides details of some of the most relevant instruments. This, however, is not an exhaustive list. Discussed in this are select international instruments that have relatively strong linkages between conflict, gender, and FRHR. Adoption of UNSCR 1325 and subsequent resolutions. In 2000, the UN Security Council unanimously adopted Resolution 1325 on Women, Peace and Security, WPs. This was a landmark resolution passed following the wars in Bosnia and Rwanda that saw unprecedented violence against women during a conflict. The resolution is by far the most powerful tool and was a result of tireless efforts by a global constituency of women's organizations and advocates. Note reference, 128. It recognizes women's agency in building peace. The resolution entails 4 pillars. Participation. It calls for increased participation of women at all levels of decision-making, in mechanisms for the prevention, management and resolution of conflict, in peace negotiations, in peace operations as soldiers, police, and civilians, and as special representatives of the UN Secretary General. Protection. It calls specifically for the protection of women and girls from sexual and gender-based violence, including in emergency and humanitarian situations, such as in refugee camps. Prevention. It calls for improving intervention strategies by prosecuting those responsible for violations of international law, strengthening women's rights under national law, and supporting local women's peace initiatives and conflict resolution processes. Relief and recovery. It calls for advancement of relief and recovery measures to address international crises through a gendered lens, including by respecting the civilian and humanitarian nature of refugee camps, and taking into account the particular needs of women and girls in the design of refugee camps and settlements. Page 19. Subsequently, 1820 was adopted in June 2008, reinforcing Resolution 1325 and highlighting that sexual violence in conflict constitutes a war crime and demands parties to armed conflict to immediately take appropriate measures to protect civilians from sexual violence, including training troops and enforcing disciplinary measures. Addressing the same topic, Resolutions 1888, 2009, 1889, 2009, 1960, 2010, 2106, 2013, 2122, 2013, and 2242, 2015 were adopted. Note reference, 129. Regional documents, such as the outcome document of the Asia-Pacific Population Conference APPC. Note reference, 130. Also recognize the importance of the implementation of UNSCR 1325 and subsequent resolutions and commits to develop peace by engaging women in peace negotiations, among others. National Action Plans, NAPs, as mandated by UNSCR 1325, are one of the ways to implement the WP's commitments at a country level and to advance accountability. Note reference, 131. As of 2016, only 60 member states, 8 from Asia. Note reference, 132. HADE adopted the NAPs. Note reference, 133. But, according to the UN Secretary General's report, only 11 NAPs have budgets for implementation. Note reference, 134. The report also goes on to admit that the UN falls short of its set target to allocate a minimum of 15% of peacebuilding funds to projects whose principal objective is to address women's specific needs and to advance gender equality. In addition, the Global Report on the Implementation of 1325 has highlighted that the NAPs have had limited impact on improving real opportunities and outcomes on women's lives on the ground. Besides, the majority of countries with ongoing or protracted conflicts have not shown any political will to develop NAPs or implement UNSCR 1325. Note reference, 135. Adoption of UNSCR 2250 on Youth, Peace, and Security. The unanimous adoption of UNSCR 2250 in December 2015 identified 5 key pillars for action: participation, protection, prevention, partnerships and disengagement, and reintegration. This is a landmark resolution that recognized the agency of young people in conflict resolution and peace-building processes, calling for their participation during the negotiation and implementation of peace agreements. It urged member states to give the youth a greater voice in decision-making at the local, national, regional and international levels and to consider setting up mechanisms that would enable young people to participate meaningfully in the peace processes. As a next step, the resolution requested the Secretary General to carry out a progress study on the youth's positive contribution to peace processes and conflict resolution to recommend effective responses at all levels. It further requested the Secretary General to make the results of this study available to the Security Council and all UN member states. Quote, on SRHR, for the first time, the committee strongly and explicitly called on states to provide safe abortion services, including post-abortion care, as a part of their obligation to provide SRH services. End of quote. Establishment of the Office of the Special Representative of the Secretary General on Sexual Violence in Conflict SRSGSBC following the adoption of the Security Council Resolution 1888 on WPs. The Office of the Special Representative of the Secretary General was established and became operational in April 2010. The SRSGSBC serves as the UN spokesperson and leading advocate on conflict-related sexual violence. It is responsible for mobilizing global political will and action and for preparing the annual report of the Secretary General covering all relevant situations of concern and naming and shaming perpetrators. The SRSG works with the Security Council to propose sanctions and other measures against those who commit, command or condone crimes related to sexual violence. It also works with state and non-state parties of conflict to obtain specific commitments to prevent and respond to sexual violence. The UN team of experts on the rule of law/sexual violence in conflict was also established pursuant to Resolution 1888 to support countries to strengthen prevention and response efforts. Note reference, 136. Adoption of CEDAW General Recommendation 30. In 2013, the CEDAW Committee adopted the landmark GR 30 on women in conflict prevention, conflict and post-conflict situations. This is the only legally binding document that recognizes women's participation in conflict resolution and peace-building processes. It provides authoritative guidance to state parties on legislative, policy and other appropriate measures to ensure full compliance with their obligations under the Convention to protect, respect and fulfill women's human rights. Note reference, 137. And provides guidance for non-state actors to address women's rights in conflict-affected areas. The committee highlights the persisting concern of gender impact of conflict and exclusion of women from conflict prevention and peace-building efforts as well as the insufficient. Page 20. Information on the application of the CEDAW Convention in such situations. Note reference, 138. Protecting women's human rights at all times, advancing substantive gender equality before, during, and after conflict, and ensuring that women's diverse experiences are fully integrated into all peace-building, peacemaking, and reconstruction processes are important objectives of the Convention. On SRHR, for the first time, the committee strongly and explicitly called on states to provide safe abortion services, including post-abortion care, as a part of their obligation to provide SRH services. The committee reiterated the forced pregnancies, abortion, and sterilization of women in conflict-affected areas violated a myriad of women's rights, including the right to decide freely and responsibly on the number and spacing of their children. The committee further recommended that the state's parties prevent, investigate and punish gender-based violations such as forced marriages, forced pregnancies, abortions or sterilization of women and girls in conflict-affected areas. Other key recommendations were access to SRHR information, psychosocial support, family planning services including emergency contraception, maternal health services including antenatal care, skilled delivery services, prevention of vertically transmitted infections and emergency obstetric care, prevention and treatment of HIV/AIDS and other sexually transmitted infections including post-exposure prophylaxis and care to treat injuries, such as fistula arising from sexual violence, complications of delivery, or other reproductive health complications, among others. In terms of reporting, the committee asks the state parties to report on the legal framework, policies and programs that they have implemented to ensure the human rights of women in conflict prevention, conflict, and post-conflict. States parties should collect, analyze, and make available sex desegregated statistics, in addition to trends over time, concerning WPs. Adoption of Sustainable Development Goals SDGs of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Goal 16 of the SDGs recognizes that sustainable development can only be realized when our societies and countries are in peace and are secure. The agenda focuses on promotion of peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, providing access to justice for all and on building effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. The 2030 Agenda outlines follow-up and review processes that will be voluntary and country-led, while being open, inclusive, participatory, and transparent for all people and stakeholders. One of the indicators identified for the achievement of the goal is the development of effective, accountable, and transparent institutions at all levels. Though the 2030 Agenda recognizes the importance of women's presence in peace-building and state-building, the indicators do not include gendered impacts of conflicts and the need to bring perpetrators of gender-based violence to justice. It also fails to recognize the need for punitive action against perpetrators and their advantages and disadvantages to conflict-affected women. It further ignores the growing militaristic nature of conflicts and the violence it perpetrates, and none of the targets indicate any form of commitment to end military occupation or the use of military forces. Note reference, 139. Beijing Platform for Action BPFA. Women and armed conflict were one of the 12 critical areas of concern flagged by and adopted by the BPFA in 1995 to ensure urgent action was taken, and to lay out concrete ways for countries to bring about change. It emphasized that states should ensure greater equality and opportunities for women and men, girls and boys. Note reference, 140. The progress and gaps of implementing the landmark BPFA are reviewed annually by the Commission on the Status of Women CSW. The BPFA recognizes the importance of participation of women in conflict resolution at decision-making levels, protecting women living in situations of armed and other conflicts or under foreign occupation, reducing excessive military expenditure and controlling the availability of armaments, promoting non-violent forms of conflict resolution and reducing the incidence of human rights abuse in conflict situations, promoting women's contribution to fostering a culture of peace, providing protection, assistance, and training to refugee women, other displaced women in need of international protection, and internally displaced women, and providing assistance to the women of the colonies and non-self-governing territories. The BPFA encourages both women and men to take responsibility for their sexual and reproductive behavior, ensures full respect for the integrity of the person, takes action to ensure the necessary conditions for women to exercise their reproductive rights, and to eliminate coercive laws and practices. It further recognizes the specific needs of adolescents and implements appropriate programs such as Page 21, Education and Information on Sexual and Reproductive Health Issues, and on Sexually Transmitted Diseases including HIV/AIDS. In 2015, the report of the Secretary General on the 20-year review of the implementation of the BPFA highlighted that conflict-related sexual and gender-based violence continued to remain a serious concern, and women remained underrepresented in the security sector, decision-making, and leadership positions. Note reference, 141. Quote, the ICPDPO recognizes the impact of conflict on women and girls, that they may be subjected to rape and sexual assault in situations of armed conflict. The PO is also committed to providing refugees with access to health services, including family planning. End of quote. International Conference on Population and Development Program of Action PO. Despite being non-binding, the ICPDPO is a landmark document that put SRHR at the center of development. The ICPDPO recognizes the impact of conflict on women and girls, that they may be subjected to rape and sexual assault in situations of armed conflict. The PO is also committed to providing refugees with access to health services, including family planning. Note reference, 142. Member states that adopted the ICPD acknowledged the need for involvement of women in the leadership, planning, decision-making, management, implementation, Organization and Evaluation of Services in Reproductive Health Programming. Note reference 143. Geneva Conventions. The Geneva Conventions and their additional protocols that regulate the conduct of armed conflicts are at the core of international humanitarian law. Arising from the experiences of World War II, the Fourth Geneva Convention adopted in 1949 and its additional protocols seek to protect people who do not take part in the fighting and those who can no longer fight. Among approximately 560 articles in the Geneva Conventions of 1949 and the additional protocols of 1977, about 40 are of specific concern to women. Note reference 144. Some of them include, under protection of women as members of the civilian population, protection against abuses by the party to the conflict into whose power women have fallen, protection of women as members of the civilian population, including pregnant women or maternity cases, nursing mothers and mothers of young children, and treatment of women combatants and prisoners of war. In addition, Article 27 of the Fourth Convention provides special protection for women against any attacks on their honor, and in particular against rape, enforced prostitution, or any form of indecent assault. The content of this article, repeated in different protocols of the conventions, further substantiates that violence against women, specifically in the context of conflict, continue to be committed. Note reference 145, and needs to be addressed by all parties. According to the International Committee of the Red Cross ICRC, women are in the greatest danger of such assaults at the time of their arrest or capture and during the interrogation, which follows, assaults ranging from the threat of rape to obtain confessions to the act itself. Note reference 146. However, adoptions of the conventions are not sufficient to address the issue unless state parties take responsibilities for their implementation. Council of Europe Convention on Preventing and Combating Violence Against Women and Domestic Violence, Istanbul Convention. The Istanbul Convention is a Council of Europe convention, which guarantees the fundamental right of every woman to be protected from gender-based violence at the individual, institutional, and structural level, regardless of her legal status. It was adopted by the Council of Europe's Committee of Ministers in April 2011. And Turkey became its first signatory in May 2011 on the occasion of the 121st session of the Committee of Ministers in Istanbul. The convention is seen as a crucial legal instrument that demands that states grant legal recognition to stateless persons. The convention further ensures that victims of gender-based violence across different countries will have access to the same rights, protections, and resources when dealing with various forms of physical and psychological abuse. It recognizes and addresses the structural and systemic problem of gender-based violence that disproportionately targets women. Note reference 148. Article 60 of the Convention addresses issues related to gender-based asylum claims and provide the following. 1. Parties shall take the necessary legislative or other measures to ensure that gender-based violence against women may be recognized as a form of persecution within the meaning of Article 1, A2. Of the 1951 Convention relating to the status of refugees and as a form of serious harm, giving rise to complementary/subsidiary protection. Page 22. 2. Parties shall ensure that a gender-sensitive interpretation is given to each of the Convention grounds, and that where it is established that the persecution feared is for one or more of these grounds, applicants shall be granted refugee status according to the applicable relevant instruments. 3. Parties shall take the necessary legislative or other measures to develop gender-sensitive reception procedures and support services for asylum seekers, as well as gender guidelines and gender-sensitive asylum procedures, including refugee status determination and application for international protection.